We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Praise the Lord. It's time for Take Time for Jesus, and we're glad to know and to report salvation through that wonderful name. For there's no other name given unto us whereby that we can proclaim salvation or even have salvation, for he's the only name that has been given. We know that in these past few days that people have celebrated what they call his birthday and all these things, and they've added into some more stuff into it as Santa Claus and one thing and all the presents and the gift. Traditionally, all these things are all right, I suppose. I wouldn't say that a person to go to hell for that, but if you haven't repented and believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, then that could be something that may cause you to lose out. But my friend, today we have gone through all the rituals and everything, and many people remember that name and they about his birth and these things, but have they really and truly believed the report that has truly been given about the Lord's coming into the earth? God himself stepped into humanity and came to die for our sins. There's some people in this world that doesn't believe that, but the scripture is very plain in it if you believe the Bible. So in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, he speaks about it that in the 6th verse, he said, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But many people today has got him to look into where there's either 2, 3, or 4 or other names. But my friend, the Bible does not give no other name. So either we are inclined to believe what the Word of God has said, or we just ignore it. The Bible teaches that he would rather for us to be hot or cold. Because lukewarm, he would spew us out of his mouth. That's in Revelations in the Laodicean church time. But my friend, it looks to me like we're kind of about living in that day now that he spoke about over 2,000 years ago when John wrote the book of Revelations. So what are we doing now? We're looking to other things, traditional and things of that nature, instead of looking into the absolute Word of God, believing it. We have come short of many things because of our unbelief. Unbelief is what, and disobedience is what got us into the mess that we're in today. When Adam really didn't believe what the Lord said, according to the scriptures there, evidently because he disobeyed God in the one commandment that he gave him. So unbelief and disobedience will get you into all kinds of troubles and everything, as it has, and it evidently has shown us in the last few days that the people today is routing around and about because they don't believe. There's a lot of unbelief and unrest in the world today because they won't be obedient to what the laws of the land says, or neither will they obey the laws of God. So we've got turmoil wherever you may be, you're going to have problems. But rest assured that this name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that we can have that assurance that we repent and get forgiveness of our sins through faith, believing in the sacrifice that he made and the blood that he shed for our sins. If we believe on him and be obedient to him, then one day, someday, I don't believe it's going to be too much longer before we can have that peace and tranquility that all people would like to have. or at least I'll say most people anyway, it may be some people that don't believe anything and nothing at all, but they got a day that's called April Fool, and it's the first day of April. So the Bible says only a fool would say that there is no God, but there is a God that looks down. He's been around in the creation. He spoke it all into existence. And that name that Isaiah was speaking about here to that child that to be born unto us, and God came to the girl Mary there and spoke to her, and the angel told her, he said, unto you, you're going to conceive and bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Jesus. Many names in biblical times have been declared that God told them what to call them and this thing and that thing, and he upheld those names of many of them, Moses and those that was named there and brought forth, and he held up their name, and many of the prophets, Samuel and those, many of them there, then he just went along. But the most important thing is that we got to understand that God gave himself a name for today. He was called one time. He said the people of Israel didn't know him as his name, Jehovah. He was spoke of as the angel of the Lord. He come to Abraham when Abraham was came back from the slaughter of the kings. He met Melchizedek, which was the prince of Salem, which translates into Jerusalem. But the scripture said he was out beginning of end, father of mother. So he evidently it had to be God that put himself in the fleshly form that Abraham seen him, paid him a tenth of the tithes of the spoils, and therefore Jesus, that name of Jesus, after all in all, he said he was made after the order of Melchizedek. So why do people get all confused and Saul all upset about the name of Jesus? It's because the God of this world, the devil himself, has tried from the very beginning to destroy what God has established when he himself got kicked out because he thought he should be above everything, because the Bible says he was a beautiful angel. He had charge over the morning. He had third part of the angels under him. Well, he decided that because that he was so beautiful and perfect and everything that he ought to be head. So he tried to make it, and he didn't make it, my friend. So there's many people in this world today has come and gone, tried to be king of the world, old earth, but there's only one, and he has come into this world, and he will be king of kings and lord of lords, and he will establish his kingdom here on a new heaven and a new earth, according to the word of God. So why should we worry about it? But that many things has come along, and let me explain something other, or try to explain to you. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, he said, whom has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up to the port and a tender plant in the root out of a dry ground, and he has no form of comeliness that wherein we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is depressed and despised and rejected of men, of a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised and he was esteemed him not. We esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we didn't esteem him and stricken. Him as stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but we were wounded for, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers, as dumb and opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. In his death, because he had none to avoid it, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and had put on him the grief. Then thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. My friend, we're looking at the things at which Isaiah told us about before the Lord came into the world. Jesus came in approximately 2,000 years ago or better. He spoke many of the things of then that are coming to pass even today. So why do we have such off-the-beat, prosperous Christianity in the world that does not really believe the report? Has God revealed his arm unto thee? Has he revealed himself in the man called Jesus? Surely he has. He has in many ways, in many times he showed himself. Jesus came and put a face on the invisible God. Timothy said in Timothy 3:16, he said that in who could argue about it? It was out without any controversy. That got you to think about it, my friend, that if we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday, we recognize the fact that he came into this world. So why not believe and trust in him in this day that we live in? Why do people mock at that name and said, away with that name and this and that, and put him out of our schools and allow the devil to bring in the guns, put him out of our churches, you might say, in many things that many people don't want to hear the name of Jesus. Why? Even to the devil trembles at that name. Mm-hmm. So, but people wants to put it aside. Are you afraid of the only name that's going to be given amongst it, whereby that we can have remission for our sins? If you are, my friend, you are most miserable. Because if you can't believe in the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, he came into this world as a name, Jesus, when he told Mary that his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. There's a place up there in Des Moines, Iowa, there that they preach that God and is like the sun and the moon. God is the greater light like the sun, and Jesus is the sun like the moon. But when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, he seen a brighter light, brighter than the noonday sun, and he was blinded by the light of that was it. And when he asked there, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted. Now, God created everything. He made the sun to be the light for the day that you and I walk by, that we can see. And he made the moon for the lesser light, but he created it all. And some of them says that God, Jesus was created just like we are. Well, if he was, my friend, there's no salvation in his name, because we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And the blood of Jesus can't cleanse us if he was created just like anybody else. But thanks be unto God, he was manifested in the flesh and came into this world to die for our sins. And he took upon him, as Isaiah spoke about there, he took upon him all of our sins and our iniquities, and was obedient even to death on the cross. By nailing by him being nailed to the cross, it nailed our sins and things to the cross. And all we need to do is believe upon him and repent. Turn away from the sins of the world and repent and give God praise and glory. Not just one time a year or when some disaster happens and maybe a friend or a loved one passes and everything. We think about God and all of his splendor love. But a few days later, like it with the towers being blown down, everybody was crying, God bless America and all this. And when World War, when the Depression, they was praying and seeking God, World War II, World War I, and all these. When we was involved in all that, they was crying out to God. But when things got better, just like the children of Israel, when things was good, they forgot about God. We've done the same thing, my friend. We forgot about God. We're looking to other things. We're looking to the man in the White House or that old man over there in the Vatican over there. These things and all. There's only one God that's going to judge this world, and his name's Jesus. These people that have come along are in the flesh. They're sinners, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. If they haven't called on the God of creation and repented of their sins, he's still in his sins, and he will die in his sins, lest that he believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He cannot be no two ways about it. It's either for him or we are against him. Any man that won't confess that Jesus the Christ came in the flesh is an antichrist, and anything that is antichrist is against God and his laws and his ways, as these homosexuals and everything says, this is the way God made me. God never made them people, my friend. It's just they got carried away in their own sins and their own lust after one another, and the devil confirmed it to them, and they believed it, and the Bible says that they would believe a lie and be damned. My friend, it's come a time that Jesus spoke of these days as it was in Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in those days. Jesus knew what he was saying, but do you believe that he is the Christ? Do you believe that he is the God of creation, that he made the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof for his own glory, and the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool? Now, some people, it says that that place over at Des Moines Highway is where the body of Christ is. But I got news for you, my friend. If you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit and repented of your sins and let Jesus come into your life and you living the life that he would have you to live, you have been born into the body of Christ. You don't go join it. You're born into it at repentance as we're in that new day is come forth. It'll be a few days now that we'll be coming into the new year, and people will be celebrating that, and then it'll be Easter, and they put baby Jesus in the manger here at this time of the year. And now at Easter, they're going to have him crucified and in the tomb and raised and resurrection, have all this other garbage put in there, come out of Catholicism. And rabbits and Easter eggs and so on and so forth had nothing to do with his resurrection, my friend. But I want you to know that until we come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus, we're going to be short of the things that he said we could have simply because of our unbelief. And I know that as time is coming, that this world is going to teeter-totter and go off its acts, you might say, and it's going to be destroyed. However, God chose for it. But Daniel spoke about that he's seen all of these images and everything, that the stone hewed out of the mountain was without hands, smolted at his image. All this here kingdoms and things of this earth and these big political things and all, and circular things is going to be done away with. That stone's going to smoke the image. All this to do away with, and Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. The stone is Christ Jesus, the rock that were our salvation. He is the rock of our salvation. And he is going to, Daniel said he seen and he watched it until that stone became huge. It filled the whole earth with its righteousness. My friend, it's time we take heed to what God says. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Take some time out of your life for Jesus and give him praise and honor and worship him in spirit and in truth. Give him the glory that he is due. because he is the one that purchased your salvation. And if you're not willing to take it, but he's going to be the one that's going to judge you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. And cast you into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The decision is up to you and I. We either decide to go with God and bless his name and come to him with honestly and accept his salvation and his plan, or we're going to go down in defeat. It's plain and simple. The devil fears that name. He knows that there's only one name and is given. He knows the name of Jesus, and he believes in the sovereignty of God, and he trembles. But many of the people today, they don't even believe in the name, let alone tremble. But one day it's going to be too late for them. When they stand before the Almighty God and he says, depart, then there ain't going to be no judge going to come up and say, no, we're going to have a new trial, because he is the judge of all judges. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's going to have the final say. Right now, while that there is still life in our body, breath to breathe that he gives to breathe, we need to repent. We need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. We need to accept the atoning price that he paid for our sins and accept him as our only God, our only Savior, and quit believing all these other things. His name is Jesus, and he shall save us from our sins. There's no other God. These other people, that they come up as gods and everything, and they try to put Jesus as being some kind of prophet or demote him or whatever, is going to look upon him one of these days, and they're going to see him face to face, and they're going to realize that his name is Jesus. It's not Muhammad they ain't looking at. It's that man called Jesus. God in the flesh is going to come and judge this world and say unto them that don't know him, I don't know you. And cast them into outer darkness. I don't care where you come from, who you are, or how high up on the ladder you got. If you don't know Jesus Christ and worship him and repented of your sins, you're going to be cast into outer darkness. Oh, my friends, it's time we take into consideration the things that we're in, that the Bible leads us into, and believe that he is the one that brought us forth, because he was the one that died for us. He's the one that's going to judge us. He's the one that came into this world for the purpose to bring salvation. For there's no other salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. I just praise him today and thank him for his love and his mercy, and for that time that he taken out of all of the other things that was there, that he took time out to die for me. Stretched his arms out there on the cross when they nailed him to it, showing the world how much he loved him, because he said he loved the world so much that God spoke about it. He said that he loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world, that through him that the world may be saved. Now we know that God is a spirit. We can't see him, but we've seen him in the face of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, when Philip spoke to him and says, Lord, show us the Father and suffice us. And he said, Philip, I've been so long with you that you have not known me, for when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He come and declare the name of the Father unto us. When he prayed for the disciples there, when he was fixing to descend, he prayed for them. He said, I don't pray that you would take them out of the world, but keep they're in the world, but keep them in the world in the name. I have proclaimed your name to them, and they have upheld it. They believed and they trusted in the name of Jesus, my friend. But it's false teachings and false prophets have come down the road, and they've told lies and deceived many of people. Many have already gone into outer darkness. Many are still walking around with that belief that won't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They are accepting everything else but the truth of God's word. Now, who has believed the report that Isaiah gave? He was one of the major prophets that God used to write to you and I today. And he said, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was revealed in Jesus Christ. He put a face on the invisible God. Honey, you can't see the breath you breathe, but you can't live without it. I can't see the Almighty spiritual God. I haven't seen Jesus face to face, as some people claim that they have. I know the apostles did in that time, but these days, them days has been, and it's come, and he ascended, and he come out from the Father. He returned unto the Father. He came on the day of Pentecost in the spirit of the wind rushed in, and it was him presently came there, and in there forth dwelled in the apostles. And from then on, he said that we can believe the report. We can accept his way that he came into by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, many of them make fun of that. Calls you all kinds of names, but they call themselves Christians. And they say they're going to have a part in the kingdom of God. I wonder, simply because they deny the part that Jesus said, that I'll come in and be with you, never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you. I will stick with you closer than a brother. I will dwell in you. Know ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. What are they going to do with all these scriptures when they say that there's nothing to this spiritual application of God's Spirit dwelling within us in the Holy Ghost, and because we may speak in that heavenly language? I know a lot of people abuse that, but there is a language that God can use us to pray in, and it prays directly to him. Thank God for that. But they call it an occult. I don't know what they are. But nevertheless, God knows his own, and he's going to come back one day. I don't think it's going to be much longer, and he's going to receive them that have been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's going to come back one day and receive them unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. It's up to you and I, my friend. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible, see what the Word of God has to say about it. And we look into these and believe and trust in calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. It's time we begin to separate ourselves from the traditional things of man and come to get adapted into the Word of God and be born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting the only name that's given, the whereby that we can be saved, at the name of Jesus. My name won't save you, my friend. I could write you a small check and you can take it to the bank and get it cashed, but Jesus wrote the check that will get us into eternal life. I couldn't do it, but he did. He took on him, yours and my sins, nailed them to the cross. And it's only through him that we're going to have salvation. That precious blood that he shed, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And these people are trying to say that God was created. He was in the beginning. He was the one that put it all out there. He was the one that spoke it into existence. He hung the sun in its place, and the moon, the stars, and all the things in the galaxy is there because he put it there. Because it said without Jesus, there was nothing made that was made. So now, how is it that these people can be so devilish wrong in their belief because one man or two men come up and made them believe this and brought out false teaching so many times that they believe what the man said rather than what the Word of God? My friend, it ain't going to work, because there's going to come a day of judgment. And when they said, well, we this and that and one thing or another, but if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast into outer darkness. And the only one that, I don't know, some say that God put your name down in the book when you was born into this world, and maybe he did, but he could blot it out. And the only way that I know of that it was put in there from the beginning of your days, and which he named many that was born into this world. He told the mother that his name should be called this or that. But I want you to know that if his name is not is in the book of life at the birth, You got to keep it there. And the only way I know that to keep it in the book of life is to repent and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give him praise and honor to him. Live a Christian life. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. But you see, in these days we live in, there's chaos going all around throughout our nation, throughout the whole world. There's all kind of chaos going on. People are killing one another. People sinning, stealing, and all this here stuff is which they was in the days of Noah, doing the same thing, marriage, giving in marriage, and doing whatever they thought was right in their own sight. They're doing the same thing today, my friend. And when God told him, he says, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, we're looking at those times. We got troubles on every hand. We're looking at these homosexual marriages and everything. I give God praise and thank him for Bonnie there standing against it and those others that stands against this homosexual. But your old man with the big hat over there in Italy over there in the Vatican, he's going to embrace it. So where are you at? There's a few of them that went against him on that. Well, may God help them. Oh, my friend, today it's time we realize that all things are being fulfilled here in this day. It was spoken of over 2,000 years ago by our Lord and Savior that it would be, and here we're in the days that is now, in the days of Noah and of Lot. We're looking at it. It's coming. January the 6th, they claim that it's going to be legal for Florida here and most places that they're going to issue same-sex marriage license. Oh, but I'll tell you, my friend, when it all gets to be and all the around and about us as it was in the days of Lot, all this here comes up. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that kind of stuff. He condemned it then, and he's not going to call it back and apologize. He's going to condemn it now, and it's going to go by the wayside that they believe a lie that they would be damned. They say, God made me this way. It's a lie to hell, and the devil's the father of it. We got to realize that God made Adam, and then he made Eve for his helpmate. He made Eve out of the bone, out of Adam's side there, out of his, out from under his arm of protection. And many women today and many men have got to where they're so sorry they can't even love one another as they should love their self. They marry and they're giving in marriage, just like it was in the days of Noah. They're coming up with all this here other same-sex marriage and all this here kind of stuff, men with men and women with women. And God condemned it then, and he's condemned it, and it will not uphold it. He will not apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's got the day coming to when those people are going to fight and scramble, but it's not going to do them any good, because they're going to do just like those that was in the days of Sodom. They're going to be defeated. My friend, it's time we wake up to realize, read your Bible and find out where we're living at today, and know that we're living on the time of the return of our Lord. As many people, the preachers are preaching it. Why come you won't listen? Why won't you believe? Because of your unbelief. The God of this world has blinded your mind to the things of the world instead of letting you know what God has to say. Oh, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. After such a love that God had for us, came and died for us, and then we just push him off just like there ain't nothing to it. That's a tragedy, my friend. The worst tragedy it could ever be that's ever going to enter into your life is just not believing in God. Because that tragedy is going to get you cast into outer darkness. And there you will be for eternity. Some of these people said, once you throw it in the fire, burn up, that's the end of it. That ain't what the Bible says. He said, where the worm never dies, and they'll be tormented night and day. So the smoke of their torment will rise up, and so on and so forth. My friend, so don't believe it's a bunch of theologians that come along as false prophets, and they telling you, read your Bible, see what it has to say, and you'll know whether the man's telling you the truth or not. I don't claim to know it all. Never would I claim to know it all, but the God that created it all knows all, and he's the one that had it put in the book. I just like to talk about him. I like to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I like to tell you about the Word of God. I like to tell you about this man, Jesus, that come into this world to die for yours and my sins. I like to tell you about his saving grace and his mercy that he showed unto us, that you don't have to be cast into outer darkness, where I don't have to die the second time. I may lay down in the dust or whatever, but praise be unto God. If I fall in the righteousness of God, I'll rise in righteousness. But if I fall in corruption, I'm going to inherit corruption. I want you to understand, my friend, we're going to all, some way or another, going to, this old flesh is going to fall off of us. It was flesh. And he said, to dust it'll turn, or to ashes. But my friend, the spirit that dwells within us, one day it's going to come, and it's going to be fashioned a new body in heaven, not made with hands, and it's going to come forth, and we're going to inherit eternal life with him in a new body. One that ain't subject to arthritis and the corruption things of this world, and heart attacks and cancer and strokes and of those things, but it'll have a new body. Oh, my friend, wouldn't you rather be that? Only way you can get it is repent. You can't buy it. Your silver and gold is going to be worth nothing. When the street of gold is transparent, why would God want your little filthy mess or my little filthy mess? He got it all anyway. He's the God that created it. It was all his. He owns the world and all of the cattle there on the hills too. So why would he worry about our little piffling? A little bit that we might have accumulated in our lifetime. He don't need it. It's not that he wants. He wants your allegiance to him. He wants you to repent. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you that prize that's beyond all that silver and gold can buy. He wants to give us eternal life. But the only way you're going to get it is through repentance. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. Because if you try to enter in another way, you're a thief as a murderer. And there ain't no back door to glory. Ain't no windows. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Father is the invisible God, but he was manifested in the flesh, as he told there in first chapter of John. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14th verse said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so what else can you do, my friend? Are you going to believe these people that comes around and says there's three and four gods, denying the only name that's been given by God himself, that worrying that we can be saved is Jesus? Are you going to go by what they say, by simply believing they know what they're saying when they may not? Read your Bible. Find out what it says. Then you'll know where the man with the long robe or the big hat or whatever he's got on there and everything claims himself to be the extreme authority of God's Word. You'll know whether he's telling you the truth or not. People have come along and said God visited them and gave them a new revelation, a new Bible. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. There's not no revelation come after the ones that the apostles and Jesus Christ came and give us there. He taken Paul out of the road of sin and brought him into, and he showed a better light than what he gave to others, that he came and brought this gospel to you and I as Gentiles. John the Revelator, there's been no greater. And these people that come along here and just in recent years then claim that God had given them a brighter, better revelation and everything. They're liars. They're false teachers. They're false prophets, my friend. Believe what the Word of God has to say, and the man will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, when Paul tells us, he said, if you come preaching another Jesus, let him be accursed. Oh, so what are you going to do? Are you going to believe what the Bible has to say? Are you going to believe what all these other people? You know how that many have come along and claimed that there would be the Christ Jesus said they would, and how they took them off into Bolivia and everything, got many of them killed, and they died and went soul to hell because they believed in the man that they were claimed he was Christ. They followed him into the destructions along with him. My friend, it's time you followed the word of God. Follow Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I don't follow Christ, you follow Christ. Oh, the man called Jesus. Our service world today and the armed forces have issued orders that the preachers in the gospel lab, they can't use the name of Jesus. There, the chaplains there, they was put under orders that they can't use the name of Jesus. Why? Because the God of this world has come to destroy and seeking to kill. And that's one of his ways of doing it. Denying the name that is above every name. Denying the only name to whereby that salvation can come. The name of Jesus. If he can destroy that, which he can't. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter was a stone, but Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the one that they drank out of in the wilderness when Moses spoke to the rock and the children of Israel had water. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to realize what the Word of God says. Follow it through the history and bring it right up to date to where we are today. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah. We're there. We're seeing it right today. Open your eyes. Believe what the Scripture says. Read and see. Open your heart to the Lord and bring forth salvation unto you. The only way you're going to make it is in that name of Jesus. And I want you to understand that I don't claim to be nobody great. I'm just a man that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but repented of my sins and let Jesus cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I'm just a man. Oh, 80 plus years old, but God's blessed me simply because I believed in him and trusted in him. I'm not after your wealth of this world. I'm after to win a soul for the kingdom of God. That's why I preach it to you in the truth. Back it up with the word of God. And I encourage you to read. I don't have to read it to you. You read it for yourself. And then if you don't believe it and you throw it away and said there's no God, you'll be just, and then when April the 1st comes along, you celebrate that day as being a fool. Because that's what they call April, first day of April, is April Fool. I don't know how it come about getting that name, but anyway, the Bible says that only a fool would say that there is no God. So, my friend, it's time we take heed to the Scriptures. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Read his word. Believe that he is, was, and always will be. God incarnated in the flesh came and died for you and I. That we would not have to die. Or you may lay down, this old body may turn to dust, but the Spirit goeth back to him that giveth according to the Scriptures. And he gave us the Spirit. He breathed the breath of life into the first Adam, which was made out of the dust, but the second Adam was made a quickening spirit, which was the Jesus himself, came into this world and died for you and I. Oh, my friend, believe what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. Get you two or three of them if it's what it takes. There's many different versions of it out. I use the King James Version, the original one, or rather one of the copies of the original, but I've got several others that I found them all to be the same thing. It may, the word may spell a little different, but when you look at the translation and everything, it all means the same thing. Oh, my friend, I want you to understand that there's only one name wherein that we can call upon and have salvation. Now, we've went through the period of supposedly be to celebrate his birth. Looking at that, and the kids get up and say, oh, Santa Claus this and Santa Claus that. My friend, it was fortunate that you had the money to buy for the children and so on and so forth. God bless you. But don't forget the name of Jesus. Santa Claus brought it, but Santa Claus gets the credit for bringing it, but Daddy gets the bill to pay for it. So why give Santa Claus the credit when you done it yourself? Get out of that kind of stuff. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach your children differently. Bring them up in admiration of the beauty of holiness. And in God, we pray that you will trust in Him. I see my time is getting short, and my wife's got something other here, and I want her to read this because it's a part of the message, my friend. It's time that we realize that things that have happened, God ordained it to be, and will bring us forth into these days to come, however how many that might be. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah. God bless you.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity that I can share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And as we come into the new year, there'll be many things will happen. And don't look back to the past of everything that's gone wrong, but look to the future for things that Jesus Christ can bring them to pass, and you can start a whole new year. And I just thank God for everything that He has blessed us with in the past year, those that we've come in contact with, those that have wrote to us and everything. I appreciate each and every one of you. But I want to read to you New Year's resolutions. The Bible does not speak for us against the concept of New Year's resolutions. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. As Psalm 118 and 24 said, we will rejoice and be glad in it. One can make a resolution or a promise to oneself any day of the year, and keeping it or breaking it is in your hands. What the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 4, the one thing the Bible does say is if one makes a promise, vows to God, they should not be taken lightly. Seeing goals at the beginning of the new year can be stimulating, but it's the motivation to keep the resolution that is important. You can determine to pray more, read your Bible more, go to church regularly, but these resolutions can fail without the proper motivation. The incentive must come from within with a purpose and a plan. Even though there might be a setback at times, the best thing to do is to start all over once again. After months and months of testing to develop an electric light bulb, Thomas Edison was interviewed by a reporter who asked him if he felt like a failure and if he thought he would just give up. Thomas Edison replied, "Young man, why should I feel like a failure? And why would I ever give up? I now know definitely over 9,000 ways an electric light bulb will not work. Success is almost in my reach." After over 10,000 attempts, Edison successfully invented the light bulb. The point is, don't quit. If it's worth doing, it's worth sticking to it, even if it means starting over a few times. The principles presented here will ensure success in selecting and achieving resolutions. And the Lord gave Thomas Edison the knowledge to make the light bulb, and many stand out in the cold by the thousands in Times Square, New York City. What draws them to that place? There's no sporting event or rock concert. There's just a huge lighted bulb that drops down a pole on top of a building. It takes only a few seconds, and it hardly seems worth fighting traffic and subway crunch to see it. Except that it happens on New Year's Eve at midnight every year. Why have we created a holiday over such a non-event? Other holidays celebrate famous birthdays or historical milestones or something. New Year's Eve just celebrates the passing of time. We make such a fuss because it signals the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. The old year's problems and struggles become a dim memory when we think of getting a new start. It must have been something like that for the Israelites who stood with Joshua and looked at the new era ahead of them in Joshua 1:1-9. Behind them was 40 years of wandering in the desert. Ahead was a land that flowed of milk and honey, and best of all, they had the promise of God that He would be with them always. As we look back to the past 12 months, face the new year, we can have hope because we too can be sure of God's help and that He will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what comes, no matter what goes. That makes the prospect of a new year worth celebrating. Though we know not what awaits us or what the future has in store for us, yet I know that my God is faithful, for He has proved it many times before. May everyone put their trust in God and have a Jesus-filled 2015. And I just praise God again for what He's done for us. We don't ask for no money, but we would appreciate it very much if you would email us and tell us what you think. And if you have something that you can send to us that we can share with others in 2015, it would be greatly appreciated. The email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com. And remember, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. And Jesus said that except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And that's in Luke 13:3. We pray that this message has been a help in getting you closer as the day of the coming of Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer. It's closer than we realize. A lot of people think it's going to be 1,000 years from now, but the way things are happening, as Brother Compton said, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Lot and Noah and all these other, you know, people that was ungodly and everything, the end is coming, my friend. Today is the day of salvation. If you don't repent, you'll be sorry and spend the rest of your days in hell. Many people don't think there is a hell, but Jesus talked more about hell than He did heaven. So you've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You can do it only through repentance. And I'm just praising God and thanking Him again for everybody out there that has blessed us by your emails and by being there when we need you. Pray for us when you have nobody else to pray for. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And, you know, I've made mention about the Word of God there. And we know that back in 1948 that the Israelites, they went back into their homeland and God brought them back. He prophesied that many years ago, even in Ezekiel 22:15. He said, "And I will scatter them among the heathens and pursue them in the countries and will consume their filthiness out of thee." But, you know, He promised them that He would bring them back also, bring them back into the land that we're in that He had promised their forefathers. And they came back and was declared by the United States, the first one recognized it to be that their land as our state of Israel. My friend, today, all of God's word is being fulfilled. And it's why I encourage you to read it. Don't believe everything that comes down the road and says, "Thus saith the Lord," but try the Spirit to see whether it be of God or not. And the only way that you can know for sure is being born again of the water and of the Spirit, being baptized in the only name that we're in salvation is, and that is in the name of Jesus. Receiving of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, wherein that Paul emphasized the fact that one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit of God, but the same Spirit, the Holy Ghost, would help us to discern the Spirit of whether it be of God. You ever tried to stick 2 magnets together? Well, my friend, they back away from everything. So the spirit of the devil is not going to have fellowship with the Spirit of God. So believe that. Believe what the Scripture says and read it and find out what God has to say about these things. And God will bless you and help you and bring you into the place to where He wants you to be. You're dust of the earth like me, made out of mud, you might say, water and dirt mixed together, made of mud. But He molded Adam in His own image, breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a living soul. But God manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ, died for yours and my sins. But I want you to think about it, my friend. Read your Bible, see what Jesus, God of creation, had to say about himself as well as about his Father, which is in heaven, which he said, I come out from and I go back to. The Spirit was manifested in the flesh. It went back and ascended into the clouds of glory, back into the spirit world, because the fleshly man called Jesus could not be with you and me wherever we might be. But he said, I will go with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you even unto the end of the world. And that's why he had to become the Father, the Spirit, the living God dwelling within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. May God bless you and keep you. And we would appreciate the mail if you'd mail to us to encourage us. And if you have some criticism, I'm got big shoulders. But anyway, we're after souls for the kingdom of God, not after the wealth of this world, because it's all going to go up in smoke. The rich man and some of these others is getting all these here famous things and all, and these names are so highly resolved in this world. Some of them going to cast all that stuff according to the word of God. Cast their silver and the gold into the hold with the bats. Cry unto them for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from him that sits on the throne. So may God bless you and keep you. And remember him in this old year and in the new year to come. Serve him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.